I appreciate the special music tonight, not just from the folks that sang the special, but appreciate the congregational singing. Amen.
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 It's been spirit-filled, and just praise the Lord for that. And I just want to say this, it's really been a joy for Amy and I just to get to know many of you, and I know we've been here 2019, but even to catch up on friendships and relationships, and thank you so much for your kindness and just being friendly to us. And you've got a great church, I don't have to tell you that, but you really do. You've got a special place here, and I would encourage you, don't take that for granted. Some of you probably have traveled, but I can tell you this, there are places where you go in and you are a visitor and you feel like a visitor. Yeah. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Amy and I were on vacation. We went to over in the Disney Orlando area. And so on Wednesday night, we decided to go into church, and we got the timing wrong. We were actually just going to get there like 5 minutes before the service, and we got there, and it was about 30 minutes before the service. We literally sat in our seats for like 20 minutes. No one came and said anything to us. And service started. And right after the service, we were walking out. One person ran as we had our hand on the door and just said, "Hey, where are y'all from?" And we said, "Well, we're just on vacation." But I thought, and I'm telling you, it was a good-sized church. And one person out of that entire congregation came up and said hello to us. And so I know we're visitors, but we haven't felt that way. And that's how it ought to be. And I just want to just say I appreciate the friendliness of that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Haggai tonight. I've got six bottles of water up here for me, so it's going to be a long message. That's how you know if it's going to be a long message. I heard a story one time about a guy. He would preach, and he had reached in his pocket, and he had just a routine he did every time. He would pull out a cert, put it in his mouth. He'd preach, and when that thing dissolved, he knew it was time to close. Well, he had forgotten about the 3 weeks before when he had worn that suit last time that one of his buttons came off and he put a button in his pocket. So instead of pulling out that shirt, he pulled out that button, put it in his mouth, and he was preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. And after the service, he realized that's a piece of plastic. That's not a shirt at all. So, but moral of the story is we'll just keep the sermon down to one bottle of water. And you know, that's not the place to say amen. All right, that wasn't the place. The Haggai chapter 2 tonight, if you're there, go ahead and stand with me as we read the Word of God. Last time I was here, I don't think I had glasses. Did I have glasses last time I was here? I don't think I did. My wife, she told me, she said, "I think you need glasses." How many understand that they're not right? I said, "I don't need glasses." She goes, "You know, I've been watching your Bible reading, and there's been a couple of words you've kind of skipped over and missed, and you didn't pronounce them right." And she goes, "I'm wondering if you need your eyes checked." I don't need my eyes checked. And so finally she convinced me. I went to the doctor, and I thought I was acing a test. I looked at the guy, and I said, I said, "My wife thinks I need glasses. That's why I'm here." But I said, "I don't need glasses." And he said, "She was right. You need glasses." So anyway, Haggai chapter 2, we're going to pick up in verse 10 tonight. The Bible says this: "In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with this skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, that which they offer there is unclean. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that tonight you might open up our hearts, and I pray that you would allow us to receive the word of God that is preached tonight. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come, and Lord, that you would help us to understand. Father, I can preach, but Lord, I call upon you, and I call upon your Spirit to move in this place and to deal with our hearts and to help us, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. May be seated. <clears throat> 43,000 have pulled out of Babylon. They've come back to Jerusalem, a town that was destroyed, and a temple that is no more. They've come back with the purpose of rebuilding the temple. When they've come back, they've been halted by their work. They laid the foundation 16 years earlier, and for 16 years, they have been stuck. They've been on a pause mode, and the Lord has sent Zechariah and Haggai to stir the people to get back to the things of God. By the way, I want to just say this. I just sense this in my heart. I know that we've gone through COVID, and not just this church, but churches across America, and I would even say the church that I pastor, can I tell you, for a whole year, we put everything on pause. Yep. We didn't do camp. We didn't do revival. We didn't do missions. We literally put everything on pause for a year, and Sunday school was on pause. I just, in my mind, it's almost like sometimes we say, well, is the Bible really relevant? Absolutely. It's dealing with where we're at right today. So I want you to notice here in this passage, I want you to notice a timeline. So we come to verse 1 in the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month. And then you'll notice here, if you would, in verse 15, in the fourth and 20th day of the sixth month. So you've literally got 23 days between verse 1 and verse 15. And then you come to chapter 2 and verse 1, and you're in the seventh month. Everybody see where we're going? Yep. And then you go to verse 10 and the 4 and 20th day of the ninth month. So his messages have been the sixth month, the seventh month, and the ninth month, literally within a three-month span, are the messages of Haggai to the people. And he's challenged them. I want you to kind of see this. He has challenged them along with Zechariah that they need to consider their ways. You'll remember how that he challenged them that, listen, you had a purpose. God called you to come and to rebuild the temple, and you've taken your priority, and instead of it being on the house of God, it is now on your house and on your life, and you need to consider your ways because you've increased in substance, but the truth is your life is empty, and it's emptier than it's ever been. Your life is bagged with holes. The more you've gotten, you've put it in, and you're broke, you're empty because you've not made God's house a priority. Then you'll remember in verse 12 how that they came and they change their priority, and they begin to obey, and they begin to come toward the house of God, and they begin to make their journey back to where it ought to be. And when they came to the house of God, we understand that coming to the house of God is more than just membership. Amen. It's coming to where we once again place our attention upon the message and upon the messenger that God has placed. Is that right? Yes or no?
So
it wasn't coming back to church so we can play bingo. No, we're coming back to church, and when we come back to church, we're coming back, and we understand the authority of the messenger, and we're going to put proper attention on the we're coming back to hear from God. Amen. And that was their desire. We want to hear from God. And when you come to church and you want to hear from God, God stirs the hearts. And didn't he stir all their hearts? And man, they got to work. And they didn't get to work because it was a job. They didn't get to work because they were paid. They didn't go to work because it was their duty. They went to work because God stirred their hearts. And then we notice chapter 2 last night. Man, oh man. They begin to build this. And they started comparing it to Solomon's house. And the thinking got out and it was compared to Solomon's house, and Haggai said, it is as nothing. But he reminded them, if I wanted this to be a golden house, I own the gold and I own the silver. Come on. And this is not Solomon's temple. This was Zerubbabel's temple. It was a temple that he would build. And God promises them, listen, you be faithful where I've put you, and you be strong no matter what comes your way and what discouragement comes your way. You be strong. And the Bible says that you need to understand that you not only work for me, you work with me. And I'm the one that puts the glory on this place. And what a lesson that was for us last night. Then we come to chapter 2 and verse 10. 4:20 in the 9th month came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law. Now, why would he say that? Because he wanted it to be accurate. The priests were the, if we could say this, the authority of the law. And so he's like, I want you to check out. I'm a prophet. I'm a preacher. They're the priests, the Levites. And I want you to ask them if this is correct. Because we want to make sure that our thinking always lines up with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And so they've had a problem in the past. Remember, a lot of their theology came from popular opinion. Remember verse 2? It's not time to build. Well, where'd you get that? Well, he agrees with me. And she agrees with me, and he thinks we're right, and so it's not time to build. So here he's driving them back to the priest, and he says, let's get this straight. And notice verse 12 what he says. If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garments, and with his skirts do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? Now, I want you to catch this. You would understand here that you've got a man who is carrying the sacrifice. It is ready to present. So not only was the sacrifice sanctified, but Leviticus would also tell us, Leviticus 6:27, whosoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. And so the person who also carried that sacrifice was also sanctified. Everybody with me on this? So not only was the offering sanctified, or I'll use the word holy, but in Leviticus 6 it says the person who carried it was also sanctified, or set apart, or clean, or holy. By the way, that's a good Bible word. We ought to use it. They were holy. So here's what he says. If his skirts, notice what he says. If one bear the holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread. So catch this. If the skirt, just the smallest part of him, touch something else, bread or meat or oil or wine, maybe other things that could be used for sacrifices, does his touch upon those things now transfer those things from being unclean to holy? Are you following me? So here's the man, and he's got
meat offering or a burnt offering, and the offering is holy, and he also is holy. He's gone through preparation to be clean before the Lord, and so both of them are holy. And he says, well, if his skirt, or if he touched something with his skirts, does his holiness transfer to that object and make it clean? Well, notice what the priests say. And the priest answered and said, what? Verse 12. Y'all can do better than that. Priest said what?
No.
I can see him almost chuckling and say, that's kind of a no-brainer. No. Holiness does not transfer and make an unholy object sanctified or clean. So he brings him to the next question, the next illustration. Then said Haggai, all right, we've got that understood. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? So here's a man who's been out and he's touched a dead body and he's come back, and here's a guy walking and he has purified himself and he is carrying a sacrifice. Both of them are holy, and the man walks up who is defiled and he touches them. Notice the question. He says, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be what?
Unclean.
Unclean. So we have a understanding here that holiness does not transfer to something else, but uncleanness transfers to something else. So let's illustrate this real quick. All right. Preacher, come up here if you would. Brother Tim, if you'll come up here real quick. Brother Mullins, if you'll come up here real quick. Did I say your last name right?
Mallard.
I knew it was with an M. All right. So these guys here, Chris, come up here if you would just for a second. Chris, you stand over here. All right. So these guys are in perfect health. Stop. They drink only purified water. Vitamins every day, organic food, groceries, exercise, health. I mean, they've been through scanners, they've been through imaging, there's no cancer, there's no growth, there's no nothing. I mean, when you listen to their hearts, it's like, wow, perfect. Blood pressure, I mean, everything about them is perfect. These guys walk through the planet and they literally are the esteem of health. Everybody with me?
Yep.
Chris has, we'll use something that we're familiar with. Chris has COVID. Everybody's backing up. So he comes to me and he's like, I've got COVID. What should I do? And I said, here's what you need to do. You need to go hang with these healthy people. And wait. Because if you go and hang with these healthy people, their health is going to rub off on you and it's going to make you healthy. Everybody follow me? So I send Chris, who's can barely breathe, and I have to help him. He's so weak. I have to help him over there. By the way, if you've had COVID, that's the case. And I bring him over here, and I said, now, you guys, here's what I want you to do. I want y'all to just surround Chris with your health, because your health is going to transfer and make him healthy. Is everybody with me on it? So I come back 3 days later, 5 days later, and I look at Chris, and Chris is worse than he was. Yes or no? And I'm like, you guys, you're not doing your job. I mean, you were the epitome of health, and your health was to overwhelm him. And instead, guess what? What do you think is going to happen when we come back 5 days later? Who do you think is going to impact who? Do you think these guys are going to overwhelm his sickness and make him healthy? Or do you think his sickness is going to impact every one of them? No matter how healthy they were, no matter how much they ran, how pure their water was, no matter how many vitamins they took, no matter how they stayed away from anything like Burger King. Yet his sickness would impact every single one of them. Well, we understand that in the health world, don't we? We understand that health does not transfer to another person. You don't get healthy by going and hanging around somebody who's healthy. It doesn't work that way. But we do understand what does transfer every single time. Whether it's the cold, whether it's the flu, whether it's something else, COVID, we understand. We understand. No. You're infected? I'll tell you what we need to do with you. We've got to isolate you, and you've got to deal with that and don't come around us. Isn't that the... Hey, come on. Am I right? And when you have dealt with that and you have got it out of your system, then you come hang around with us. But we understand exactly who's going to win the battle every single time. Thank you, gentlemen. Why is Haggai dealing with this? I want to help you tonight because we understand how it, listen to me, we understand how it works in the world of physical health. But many times we don't live that way when it comes to spiritual health.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Now, I want to look at a couple of things tonight. And one of the things that I want us to understand is this. Why would Haggai deal with this illustration of sin in chapter 2 and verse 9? If it's been a problem all along, why doesn't he deal with it in chapter 1 and verse 1? Can I tell you that sometimes you and I are not ready to deal with our sin? Sometimes we're not ready to get victory in our life. So listen to me. Sometimes we're kind of okay with our sin because we've lived with it for so long. We don't see it as that contaminating. But these people have began to make a journey back to the priorities of God. And I'm convinced that sometimes in our life when we begin that journey back to the priorities of God and we begin to come back to the house of God and we begin to put our attention upon the Word of God, that God begins to deal with issues in our life that are hindering us from serving Him. Now stop just for a second and let's understand what's going on. These people have been building the house of God. Am I right? We're 3 months from the first message. We're 3 months since Haggai came in and kind of popped them in the face and said, hey, consider your ways. And now they're turning in their ways. And as they're turning their ways, notice the illustration. The illustration is about, listen to me, it's not about the drunkard who's in the bar. Is everybody with me on this? It's not about the man who's cheating on his wife. No, the illustration is about a man who is carrying a sacrifice in his skirt to present to God. These are people who want to serve God. God says, you want to go all the way? You want to serve me all the way? Then we need to understand holiness and uncleanness. You see, listen to me. the guy that's at the bar, who's been going there for all of his life, he really doesn't have a desire to get clean. But he also really doesn't have a desire to serve the Lord. The key to this passage is this. I want you to hear me tonight. The key to this passage is understanding that these are people who desire to serve the Lord. They want to do more for God. They want to worship God. They've put their arms and their strength and their money into building this building. And God is trying to show them, hey, listen, it's more than just the building. It's about bringing a sacrifice. It's about drawing near to God. It's about serving the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. And if you're going to go in that direction, you got to step it up a notch. It's kind of like the coach who sees the player, and the player staying extra at practice because he wants to be a better player. And when he does that, the coach comes over and says, hey, can I give you some hard tips to hear? But if you really want to go the next level, this is what you need to do. Or the person that comes up and says, hey, if you really want to advance in your job, let me help you with what you need to do. From now on, start wearing a tie to work. Start coming in with clean shoes. When you come in, fix your hair, and they're giving them the steps to do a better job. Can I just challenge you that Haggai chapter 2 is about people who want to be serious about the things of God. God has called us to do more than just build a building. He has called us to worship Him and to glorify Him with all of our lives and with all of our hearts. So notice here who He's talking to. It is a reference to people in verse 1 or verse 12. It's a reference to people, one bare holy flesh in the skirt of his garment. So he's calling them to realize the difference between sickness and the difference between health. Now notice if you would hear the call to bear holy things. I wanna say something tonight. I am concerned with the view of Christianity in our world today. Well, Brother Nance, everybody does it. You know what your mama said when you said that at home? You're not going to do it that way. And a lot of times people would come and even statements like this. Well, you know, most churches don't have a Sunday night service anymore. Well, I think we still ought to honor God on the Lord's Day. Well, you know, a Wednesday night, Brother Nance, I'll be honest with you. I think, you know, if we had maybe like a bingo club, I think more people would come. Or maybe if we taught like, I don't know, like kickboxing, or if we had a knitting class, or if we had a baking class, and we just, you know, ministered in that way and kind of got away from the preaching of the Word of God on, I mean, do we have to do that every Wednesday night? I want to just challenge you that it's important that we set a good example for the next generation. One of the verses that I love is when we deal with the Lord's Supper and that verse where Paul says, I have delivered unto you the same, and he kind of talks about that which I received of the Lord the same night in which Judas was betrayed. They took bread. And I'm reminded that Jesus, and I'm not preaching about the Lord's Supper, but just as an illustration, Jesus set the Lord's Supper, and the truth is that we're to simply follow the pattern that was set. And when it comes to godliness, and when it comes to a home, and when it comes to a Christian marriage, and when it comes to what a biblical church looks like, listen to me. In 2021, we have a great example to do what God has called us to do and make sure that our example reflects the Word of God. So here are these people, and these people have an understanding that the holiness is not transferred, but the uncleanness is transferred, and God has called them to bear holy things.
I want to remind you tonight, God has called you to bear the holy things. Just as much as the Levites would carry upon their shoulders when they would carry the Ark of God, you've been called to bear the holy things of God. And it's important that you understand the life that God has called you to do. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 says this, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Yeah. The standard of righteousness that is set for your life and for mine is not set by the priest, it's set by the Almighty God. And I want to remind us tonight that the standard that He sets for our lives is that you and I are to be holy even as He is holy. Amen. So what's the problem? What's the big deal? So I understand that we're not just to build the temple, but we're also to worship the temple. And that means that we're to offer sacrifices. So what's the big deal? I want you to notice their attitude in verse 13. So Haggai brings something out. "Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a," what? "Dead body." What's the next word? Touch. No, wait. I want you to catch something. If one that is unclean by murder. I understand that. Unclean. Why is he unclean? He murdered somebody. You ever murdered anybody? No. That's why I'm still holy. He is unclean because he's a murderer. Is everybody with me on this? He that is unclean by adultery. I understand that, man. I get it. He is unclean. What'd he do? Adulterer? You can't handle the things of God. You shouldn't be even serving in the house of God. You adulterer, you're filthy. Get out of here, you adulterer. He didn't say if you're unclean by murder, did he? He didn't say if you're unclean by adultery, did he? Oh, we could see those people. They can't handle the holy things of God. They shouldn't be allowed to serve as the servants of God. They're unclean. Stop just for a second. Notice the illustration he used. If you're unclean by a what? Touch of a who? Well, stop just for a second. Well, who's had a dead relative in their life? Everybody there could raise their hand. Yeah. True, yes or no?
Yeah.
Come. Stop. Wait, hang on. Hang on just for a second. I want you to see the illustration. The illustration is not a murderer. The illustration is not an adulterer. Oh, we would understand. They can't serve God. Come on. They can't. No. You can't be touching the sacrifices of God. You can't come in here and worship. You're not fit. But that's not the illustration Haggai used. He uses a dead person. Oh, well, yeah, well, last week we buried Grandma. That's part of life. Not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, if you touched an unclean person, you had to be separated for 7 days. I said 7 days. 7 days?
You know what I think about that, Brother Jeff? I think the Bible's a little extreme in that area. I mean, all of us have had that problem, and, you know, it's only been four for me, and I think I'm good enough. Come on. And besides, I think you're overreacting over a touch. It's not, come on. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, I was with my family, and we love Grandma, and all we did is walk up, and we just touched her, and I did what everybody else in my family did, and now you're telling me that I'm unclean? Hang on. Before you judge me, you need to understand something. Everybody did it, and all it was a touch. I think you're making too big of a deal over a touch. Everybody, are you with me tonight?
Yeah.
If you say amen and get with me, the message gets shorter. It stays one bottle. You don't say amen, and I'm sweating like a pig tonight, but I can go three bottles tonight. I won't do three bottles. You starting to get the idea? What Haggai is trying to, listen to me. What Haggai is trying to show us is something. You consider the touch of sin no big deal in your life. But the touch of sin in your life causes you to be unclean. And if you're unclean, you can't do what God's called you to do. Everybody with me on this? Oh, Brother Nance, now, I understand a murder. No, we're not talking about a murder. That's not the illustration of Haggai. I want to drive this home. I've never done. We're not talking about adultery. We're talking about the touch of a dead person. God says you can't do anything for 7 days. Well, I think that's extreme. The reason you think it's extreme is because of this. You don't see sin the same way that God sees sin. And if you want to approach and serve a holy God, then I'm going to tell you, you've got to see sin the way that God sees it. And there's many times in our life where we consider just the touch of sin as not a big deal. And we feel like, well, it's just a touch. Brother Nance, it doesn't contaminate. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is this. Listen to me. One thing you need to understand about sin is this. Listen to me when I say this. A touch never stays a touch. Sin always starts off with a flirt. Sin always starts off with a crossing the line. Sin always starts off in the area of a small matter. Listen to me. It's just a touch. It's just a brief moment. It's just a crossing of the line. It always starts out small, but understand something about sin. Sin contaminates everything around it. Do you not remember the illustration of the COVID person? Don't you understand? It contaminates everything around it. Don't you get the picture that sin just doesn't stay in one area of your life? It penetrates into your heart, penetrates into your mind, penetrates into your life, penetrates into your marriage, penetrates into your family. Friend, I want to tell you something, that you and I have something in common tonight. We have a wicked heart. And we don't even know our heart. One thing about our heart, not only do we know that it's desperately wicked, but we know that our heart's deceptive. And it constantly tells us, listen to me, it constantly reassures us the touch is no big deal. It's just a touch. Everybody with me? But it never stays a touch, does it? Come on. Never stays a touch. Never stays there. These were servants of God who thought that they could continue to serve God in a holy manner while allowing uncleanness to reside in their life. Now stop just for a second. I love the illustration Haggai uses. Because we could all shout, amen! That's adultery. They can't serve God But you know what? This is just a little touch of something that was dead in my life. I'll be fine to sing in the choir. I'll be fine to teach the class. I'll be fine to continue on my way. And here's what we believe. Listen to me. Here's what we believe. We believe that we continue to serve God and carry the things as if we're holy when we're really contaminated by just a touch. Are you with me? Can I tell you where I think the church is at? I think the church is exactly right there. I think the church appears to be holy, but we're really contaminated. And we've taught everybody that it's okay. You keep serving God. All it is just a touch. But notice something that we're about to find in this passage. Verse 14. Then answered Haggai and said, "So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the" what? Whoa, Brother Nance, these are the 43,000 that left Babylon. I mean, they left Babylon and they came all the way over to build the house of God. They've made great sacrifices. I mean, these are people that are in the ministry. These are the people that are giving it their all. I mean, they've been stirred by the Lord and they're at work. Whoa. Can I tell you something? I think we need to come to David's prayer. Search me, O God. You and I can look at a touch of sin and we can justify it all day. But what we need in our life is we need God to reveal to us not what we think about our sin. We need God to reveal to us what He thinks about our sin. You know what he says? Haggai comes in, he says, "I want you to know something about these people. Man, they've been stirred. They're making direction in the right way." But notice verse 14. "This people unclean. The nation unclean, saith the Lord." And notice the last part of verse 14. "And so is every work of their" what? "And that which they offer there is" what's the last word? "Unclean." God looks at it and he says, "You know, you're still going to church. You're still building the temple. You're still doing a work of God, but you need to see yourself in the eyes of God. You are unclean." Say, "Brother Nance, it's just a little touch." Oh, what's that verse? How does it go? If you know it, you can help me with it. Something about... A little leaven. No, that's not it. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You're right, that is the verse. But we act like that's not the truth. We act like a little leaven's just how most Christians live their life. Come on. A little leaven's not that big of a deal. A little touch, it's a dead person, and everybody did it. Come on. I'm reminded of two biblical stories. Let me give them to you. I'm reminded of Miriam and Aaron when they were gossiping about the man of God. How many remember that story? God called them out. He said, you've been talking about my man Moses? They didn't think it was that big of a deal until Miriam was covered in leprosy. All of a sudden, man, she saw what her sin looked like before a holy God. Am I right? Yes or no? And Aaron's response is, she's a dead person. Have mercy on her. And you know what? God was trying to teach her. Listen, you think a little leaven's nothing? It's huge. And after she was healed, God still said, she needs to stay outside the camp for 7 days. By the way, do you know something? Did you know that the nation of Israel for 7 days did not move forward because of one person's gossiping sin? Is the seat empty? Amen, preacher. Brother Nance, now you're trying to tell me that a little gossip. So what I'm trying to show you is this. Listen to me. What I'm trying to show you is this. The way you look at sin and the way God looks at sin is pretty different. And what you and I call a little touch, he covered Miriam in total leprosy. Now, God revealed his sin, or what he thought of his sin. Now, listen to me. Some of you aren't getting this message. I just know you're not. And I'll tell you the path you'll take. You'll take the path of Samson. I remember Samson reaching his hand into a dead carcass for a little honey. Yeah. He thought the payoff would be worth it. Come on. Yeah. Just a dead lion? It's not that big of a deal. It's not that, by the way, it's not that big of a deal, and he began to take steps. He began to take steps, saying it's just a touch. I can still be the judge of Israel. I can still have a public ministry. And in my private life, I can do what I want to. And it's none of your business. Better be careful, Samson. See, he thought he could go down into Gaza with harlots. And just because he was able the next day to carry the gates out of the city, he thought, I'm okay. But he wasn't okay. How many understand that although he was called to a holy position, he was unclean? Now notice the illustration. The illustration is really great. So you've got an offering in your hand, and you've been made holy. If you touch something else, you don't make it holy? No. You mean it's going to make me unclean? Yep. But Brother Nance, if I do something spiritual, I kind of cancel out the sin in my life. I mean, understand that doesn't work. Put $100 in the plate if you want to, but sin's still sin. A good offering doesn't cancel out the unholy touch in our lives. And I'm gonna just remind us tonight that when you and I begin to view sin the way Samson did, and we constantly say it's not a big deal, and I can serve God, and I can keep serving God, and God will keep bless me, and all it is an unholy touch. I'm telling you that the way God sees it, God says, nope, everything about it's unholy. The work, the offering, everything about it, it's unholy. Because sin penetrates every area of our life. I want to just say this tonight, if you are hearing me. You say, Brother Nance, all right, I'm unholy. What do I do? I love what Haggai did. Number one, you know what he did? He asked them a question, and the priest answered no. And then the second answer was, it is unclean. Can I tell you something? The first thing you need to do is verbally confess your sin as wicked before God. Well, you know, the devil made me do it. Stop blaming the world for your sin. Well, you know, I grew up in a home and they didn't think it was bad. Doesn't matter what home you grew up in. The Bible settles those issues. Amen. And somewhere in our life, can I just help you tonight? If God is putting his finger on your heart and he's revealing an attitude or an action, Or if I can just use this phrase, and I'm not gonna stand up here and preach 20 minutes on different avenues of sin. The Holy Spirit of God is able to speak to your heart tonight and reveal the wicked touch in your life. He's able to do that. And if he is, you're probably justifying it and saying, well, it's not that bad of a deal. And I don't do it all the time. And it's just here and there. And it's small in comparison. No, it's a holy God. And what he's called you to do is to be holy. But I can tell you this, if you're a Samson tonight, or if you're a Miriam tonight, and you're hearing the word of God, can I challenge you? Don't wait for leprosy before you realize it's sin. And don't wait till they gouge your eyes out before you realize it's sin. Come on, amen. Say, what should I do? Do what they did here. I agree, Haggai. It's uncleanness. It's wrong. It's in my life. And can I challenge you that you need to agree with how God views your sin? And stop justifying it by how you view your sin. There was always a process for getting clean. For Naaman, he had to dip 7 times into Jordan River. I'm reminded the first time that I ever was clean. Do you remember the first time you were clean? You know what you did? You did something really simple. You came to Jesus by faith. You confessed that you were a sinner and you confessed that he was Lord.
Amen.
Man, I love that verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. By the way, if you're not saved tonight, you say, well, Brother Nance, I'm not a big sinner. Sin is sin.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death. You do not have to be an adulteress to go to hell. By the way, our heart is full of all the sin. We're sinners. We're under the condemnation of God. But I want to just say this, that if you'll come to Jesus tonight, it is the very ministry of Jesus Christ to make you clean.
Amen.
Reminded of old Peter, aren't you thankful that Jesus taught him? What a picture of Jesus getting down, humbling himself with a bowl of water and a towel and watching the Lord cleanse the feet of Jesus, or feet of Peter. Now, I want to challenge you tonight. Only Jesus can make you clean.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. By the way, he's the Word. Now you're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. He can make you clean. But I want to challenge you tonight. The greatest deception you'll ever have in your life, listen to me, is when you think you can have an unholy touch in one hand and a holy service in the other hand, and you can continue to serve God with unholiness in your life. A couple of years ago, I had an assistant pastor in our church. And something was off. I couldn't tell what it was, but something was off. And I went to him, and I went to him 3 different times. And I just said, something about your spirit. I said, I don't know if you've lost your heart for the ministry, if you're looking to go to another church. But I said, I just feel like something's off. No, pastor, everything is fine. Everything is fine. I remember being on vacation one time, and I had him fill in for me on a Wednesday night, and I went back and I watched the service. And as I watched the service, I remember all of the object lessons he was bringing into the message. And I just remember my mind thinking, he's got a position, he's got a role, he's got a service. But have you ever just noticed the touch of God wasn't there? And I just watched that message, and I just, in my mind, I thought, something's off. I don't know what's off. I don't know what it is. A couple of months later, he resigned and left. He went to another ministry. It was still in our area. He was in that ministry for probably about a year. And I remember one day we were doing some work at a church plant north of us. And I mean, my phone was lit up. I mean, it was just lighting up all of these texts. And it was like, Pastor, have you seen the news? Pastor, have you seen the news? Have you seen this story? You go home and turn on the TV, and all of a sudden I'm starting to get links to the news station. And I realized that assistant pastor with five kids had been arrested. I won't mention the sin, but how it broke my heart that someone thought they could continue to serve God and have a filthy touch in their life. Everybody with me? Now I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen to me. It will catch up with Samson eventually. It will catch up. Aren't you thankful for the warning of Haggai?
Yes, sir.
That I can come before God and I can say, oh God, I want to be clean. I want your touch back in my life. I want to be made holy. Do you know God can do that?
Amen.
He can do that in your life tonight. He can take that which is unclean and he can bring about, oh, I love this phrase in Hebrews, the forgiveness of sins. What a God. What a God. What a God. Brother Nance, it's just a touch, not in the eyes of God. It's just a dead body. Everybody has those in their life. And there's a process to come and get clean. Before we serve in a holy manner once again. Our Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you might open up our eyes to the wickedness of sin. And I pray that tonight, oh God, that in the areas of our life where we have become contaminated, I pray that tonight we would come before God and agree with you. And Lord, may tonight we realize that we have been called to a high and holy calling. As your children, Lord, we are kings and priests before God. May we realize, oh God, what you have called us to do in your kingdom. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder who would say this. Brother Nance, tonight, God spoke to my heart. And maybe it's not adultery. Maybe it's not murder. Maybe it's something small and insignificant to others. Maybe it's something that you've learned to live with and you think that's not that big of a deal. But tonight, God has pointed out in your heart, you can't serve me. I called you to be the holy servant of God. You can't serve me with that touch in your life. And you say, Brother Nance, pray with me tonight. God spoke to my hand. God bless you. I see hands all over tonight. I see hands all over. God bless you. You can put them down. Many, many hands tonight. Brother Nance, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. God spoke to my heart. I want to be right before him. I want to be holy before him. Pray for me. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Friend, I want to just say something. You'll not give an account to me, and I don't expect anybody to give an account to me, but you will give an account to God who has given you a high and holy calling. Now, I want you to listen to me. You say, well, I'm not the preacher. No, but before God, by the cost of the blood of Jesus Christ, he has made you a king and a priest. Oh, friends. Walk worthy of the calling that God's put in your life. Anyone else, Brother Nance, pray for me. God spoke to my heart. Anyone else? I want to ask a second question tonight. I wonder if there's somebody here and you say, Brother Nance, I'm not clean and I'm not saved. And tonight I realize my sin. I realize my heart. I'm separated from God because of my sinful condition. And tonight, I need Jesus Christ to save me. I need Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I need the forgiveness of sins that only comes from the blood of the Lamb. Brother Nance, would you pray for me? I'm not saved. Here's my hand. Would you put it up tonight? God spoke to your heart. God bless you. I see that hand right there. Anyone else, Brother Nance? God, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand tonight if you're not saved? Would you do that tonight? If you're not saved, I'm going to invite you to go to your preacher, go to a worker tonight and say, I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Do that tonight. Do that tonight. Don't let tonight pass you by and not be saved. Don't do it. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. God, would you help us tonight? Lord, would you realize that we've been called to a high and holy calling to serve you? So, Lord, may our lives be prepared to do the work of God. Lord, you saw the many hands. I pray that they would come tonight, that they would put away the sin, that they would find cleansing through Jesus Christ. And I pray, oh God, that you would work. Would you save the lost tonight? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano plays. The song is being sung. Would you come tonight and do business with God? Would you come right now as He speaks to your heart? Would you come to an altar and would you...